This week, we got this notice through the door. It said this: sorry, we may need to turn your water off. It's not very exciting. It's just they're digging up the road down the road from us. But I want you to imagine coming downstairs and finding on your doormat a different flyer. One that says this: you may have noticed that a number of sinkholes have recently been discovered near you. There was one just down the road outside St. John's that caused havoc with the traffic for a week or two. There was one just over the road there that was fixed this week. It goes on: after further research, we believe there is a sinkhole under your house. Urgent action is required. Unless you respond, the next time we have a serious storm, your house is in danger of complete collapse. Call this number for our team to come and help you. If you received a flyer like that, I wonder what you would do. I think it's pretty unlikely, isn't it, that we would do nothing. I mean, we might be suspicious. Maybe we think we're victims of a prank. We might look closely at the flyer to see if it looks real or not. You might go online and do a bit of Googling and see if this is a common sort of scam. Maybe you'd ask some friends and neighbours if they'd received something similar and what they did. Maybe, in fact, some of them could. Maybe some of them had called that number and could tell you about their experience. But you probably wouldn't just ignore it, would you? I think we do something. And friends, this morning, Jesus is asking us, urging us to do the same. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus has come to the end of his sermon, and his conclusion is really simple, isn't it? You and I have a choice. If we listen to him and we put his words into practice in our lives, we will be safe. But if we choose to ignore them, then we won't be. So what will we do? Sometimes I think it's fair to say that the Bible is challenging to understand. Sometimes the language is hard. Sometimes the terms it uses are unfamiliar. Sometimes it's my first job as a preacher to sort of unpack those technical words and explain what's going on. Other times, the concepts that the Bible talks about can be complicated. Sometimes they're culturally confusing because we're reading them thousands of years after and thousands of miles away from when they were first given. Sometimes the theology of the Bible is dense. We're trying to get our heads around something like the nature of God or something like that, and it's hard work. Sometimes the Bible can be easily misunderstood. Sometimes it can be obscure or seem irrelevant, and we have to ask the question, so what? But none of those things is true about Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29, is it? It's not complicated. It's not confusing. The words and the ideas and the concepts it uses are not hard, and it is anything but irrelevant. I don't even have to think of an illustration to make Jesus' point more memorable or concrete for you, because Jesus provides his own. And on your summer holiday, if you build a sandcastle, I hope you remember them. We can understand exactly what Jesus is saying, can't we? We've thought about it already in the songs in our service. Storms come in this life. Storms come just as surely as the sea rolls in on the coast. From time to time, life throws all sorts of trials and troubles and terrors at you. And Jesus says, if you are living your life listening to him and trusting him and putting his words into practice in your life, in other words, if he is the foundation upon which your life stands, then when those storms come, when divorce and disease and disappointment and dementia and disaster and even death come, if you've built your life on him, it won't sweep you away. You'll be able to stand. But, he says, if you ignore him and don't trust his words and his wisdom, if you don't listen, or if you listen and you don't put them into practice, if you build your life trusting in other things as your foundation, he says, friends, you will discover that when disease and divorce and dementia and disappointment and disaster and ultimately death come, your foundation will fail you. You won't be able to stand. Your life will fall with a great crash. And as you sit here with these words open in front of you, it's like you're holding a flyer from Jesus in your hands. And the question is, what will you do? Friends, don't do nothing. Please don't do nothing. You may have questions. You may have doubts. I get that. Last week in verse 15, we heard Jesus say, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. We know there are scams in this life and people who try to trick you. So don't just take Jesus' words at face value. Investigate. Read the Bible for yourself, But friends, let me ask you, if you've read the Bible for yourself, does Jesus come across as a wolf in sheep's clothing? Last week in verse 17, he said, he was talking about good and bad teachers, and he said, every good tree bears good fruit and every bad tree bears bad fruit. If you've met Jesus on the pages of the Bible, does he seem like a bad tree? Bearing bad fruit to you? Or maybe you've got a friend who's a Christian, someone who heard Jesus' warning and responded to Jesus' call. If you're still investigating for yourself, why not ask them, talk to them, ask them what their experience has been following Jesus. But whatever you do, don't do nothing. Don't just ignore Jesus' words. It's too big, isn't it? It's too important. And friends, let me say, for some of us, I think the sermon ends there. It would be the shortest sermon I've ever preached here at Christchurch, but I think for some of us, the sermon ends there. Jesus is clear. Your options are clear. The only thing you need to do is think about how you will respond. But I know many of us already have made that decision. So before we finish, I want to draw out just a couple of other things that I think we can learn from this wonderful passage. And the first is this. Jesus' words are God's words because Jesus is God. As I said already, last week we were looking at verses 15 to 23, and we were thinking about how we can be fooled and how we can fool ourselves. And in verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Now, we are not saved by obedience. That's what Jesus has been teaching all the way through this sermon. Rather, once we have been saved, we will want to obey. One of the evidences that we have been saved by God and are trusting in him and following him is that now, increasingly, we want to obey God's word. We want to do the will of our Father in heaven, as Jesus said in verse 21. But now, he says, just three verses later in verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock." And verse 26, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." Do you see what he's saying? In verse 21, he said, "The sign that you've been saved is that you want to do what God says and obey him." And now in 24 and 26, he says, "The sign you've been saved is that you want to obey my words and do what I say." How is that possible? Because Jesus is God. Now, maybe you think that's obvious, but every so often, I can guarantee you, you will meet someone who says, "Jesus never claimed to be God." Just after he died, his followers got a bit carried away and they started a new religion and worshipped him as God. But friends, do you see, that's not true. And the people back then could see exactly what Jesus was saying. Look at verse 28. It says, "When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law." They were used to being taught stuff about God, but every time their religious leaders taught them about God, they would say, "Here is what God says." Or, "Listen to what God has said." But when Jesus spoke, he said, "I tell you." Do you see the difference? Everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus says, is like a wise man. Jesus' words are God's words because Jesus is God. Secondly, notice that Jesus is saying again, don't fool yourself. That's what he said last week back in verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" As I said, if you want to go back and listen to that, you can find it on the website. But now Jesus says it again. He says, don't fool yourself. And I think he says it again because we're in danger of fooling ourselves. Jesus is the greatest preacher who ever lived. And the Sermon on the Mount that we've been looking at since February is arguably the greatest sermon he ever preached. So no wonder it says in verse 28, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. I looked that up in some different translations of the Bible. It says they were amazed, they were astonished, they were delighted, they were captivated, they were spellbound or dumbstruck or awe-inspired. But do you notice what it doesn't say? It doesn't say they obeyed. Friends, we can hear God's word week after week. We can enjoy God's word and study God's word. I can preach God's word and you can hear God's word. And we can grow in our knowledge about God, but we will still be fools unless we put what we hear into practice. Don't be like the crowd. I hope you enjoy coming to Christchurch. I hope you enjoy my sermons. But don't be like the crowd. It's so easy to just come along and be engaged. Maybe even be challenged, entertained, intellectually stimulated. But friends, church isn't cinema. And Jesus' words aren't works of art to be stared at and admired. They are commands to be obeyed. And it's wisdom to be acted upon, and their instructions to be put into practice. Don't fool yourself. Listening is not enough. Hearing is not enough. We need to put it into practice if we're going to be wise. Thirdly, as Stephen has already preached for us, very well, may I say, storms come to everyone. I remember reading an article written by an atheist not long ago who said, with some glee, that research has shown that Christians get cancer just as often as non-Christians get cancer, and that Christians get cured from cancer just as often as non-Christians get cured from cancer, which just goes to show, the author said, that God isn't real and prayer doesn't work. And I read that and I thought to myself, he could have saved time and money by not doing the research at all. Because the Bible never says that following Jesus will make this life easy. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24 doesn't say, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house in a place where there are no storms, and where no rain comes down, and no streams rise, and no winds blow. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It's clear from Jesus' parable that storms come to everyone. And friends, if we can get our heads around this, we will save ourselves a huge amount of pain and confusion and difficulty. The Bible never says that listening to Jesus and putting his words into practice will make us exempt from disaster and disease and divorce and despair and depression and everything else that ruins our world. No, what it says is that if we listen to Jesus and put his words into practice, then when the storms of life come, you will be able to stand. And even when the worst storms of life come and you face death, you will be able to stand. Storms come to everyone, which leads us on to the next thing we should see, and that is that it's all about the foundation. It's all about the foundation. It's interesting, isn't it, that we are told nothing about the houses that the wise man and the foolish man built. It doesn't say whether one was fancy and one was shabby. It doesn't say whether one was big and one was small. It doesn't say whether either of them were impressive or humble. It doesn't even say whether one was like particularly well made and strong and secure and the other one was kind of rickety and falling apart. Why? Because that's not what matters. The only thing that matters, the only thing that determines whether or not you will weather the storms of life, is what you build your house upon. Friends, you may build for yourself a wonderful life and have your dream job and marry the most beautiful woman you've ever seen and have the most beautiful children and grandchildren and everything else you've ever dreamed of. You might have all the tinsel and trimmings this world has to offer, but if you have ignored Jesus, or if you've listened to Jesus but didn't put his words into practice, well then when the storms of life come, and they come to everyone, your house will fall. Doesn't matter how much money you had in the bank, when it falls, it will fall. On the other hand, you might feel like you've made a mess of your life. You might feel like you're just always struggling and going from pillar to post. You might feel like you've never caught a break. If you had to draw your life as a house, maybe it would look more like a shed than a showroom. But friend, Jesus says, if you have lived your life doing your best to listen to him and put his words into practice, you can be sure your shed will stand. That it will weather any storm, not because it's strong, but because he is strong. It's all about the foundations. And friends, sometimes from street level, the house that is built on the rock and the house that is built on sand look the same. And they're hard to tell apart, but when the storms come, you will see the difference. And I think that's part of the answer to the mystery of why God allows storms to come at all. In the book of 1 Peter, in chapter 1. Wait a second. It's not there. So have I lost it? Here it is. Here's what it says in 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trial. Listen, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. If we build our lives on Jesus, if we listen to his words and put them into practice, when storms come, we will stand. And when we stand, our faith will have been strengthened, and it will bring glory and praise and honor to God. It's all about the foundation. I'm sorry, my PowerPoint's all over the place. It's all about the foundation. So what do we need to do? We need to hear and obey. Jesus' parable is wonderfully simple, isn't it? The foolish man built this house upon the sand. It's wonderfully simple, so how do we put it into practice? It is our task every day to hear and obey. So how do we do it? When we come to church and our Bibles are open, we hear God speak to us. When we sit at home and we try and make time to sit and have a coffee and open and read a bit of the Bible. When we sit down with our spouses or our children or our friends, when we hear God's truth and God's instruction on how life works, it's amazing, but reading it is only half the job. We need to put God's word into practice. We need to consider how, as a result of what we have heard, our lives need to change. We need to think about what transformation needs to occur. We need to pray that our feelings and our thoughts and our hearts and our actions would change, not stay the same. So let me ask you, friends, are you doing that? And what are you doing to put God's word into practice? It's why at the bottom of the sermon sheet, maybe you grabbed one on your way in, at the bottom of the sermon sheet, we have a few questions. They're there to help you put what we've heard into practice. In fact, I'm going to put those questions on, in fact, Stephen's going to put those questions on the screen at the end so that we can talk about them over tea and coffee. It's why we have tea and coffee, not just so that we can get to know one another, certainly not so we can just talk about the weather or football. We can do that anywhere. We've got that time, though, to talk about what we've just been learning about and to help one another think about how we can put it into practice. It's why our midweek groups spend time thinking about what we looked at on Sunday so that we can help each other think about how we can obey. It's why over the summer we're going to be doing the same passage down here and upstairs in our kids groups so that at the end, as a whole church family, we can think about how we can put God's word into practice in our lives. Because we don't just want to be hearers. That's the way of fools. We want to be doers. That's what makes us wise. Friends, that is the end of my sermon. But more importantly, it's the end of Jesus' sermon. So the question is, what are you going to do with what you've heard? Let me pray for us as we finish. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to be wise and not fools. Help us to hear these words of yours and put them into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.